I told my students that I was going to speak to them, I was going to have a conversation with them, and I was going to let everybody else listen. So you guys get to listen in on our conversation. All right. So what you guys know is that I did not grow up a Christian. My students have heard me talk about being raised an atheist. So when I was in middle school, so about Kyler and Valexi's age, I want to tell you a little bit about my life. Now, I was skinny, and some of you now say, well, you're pretty thin, but no. I was so skinny that people would make so much fun of me. They would say that I never ate. My teachers would send notes home to my parents saying, please feed this child. I ate a lot. I just had really high metabolism. But I was so skinny. I had these like knobby knees, and I wasn't very graceful. I was pretty clumsy and just very skinny. And I'm kind of tall for a girl, so I was tall and skinny, which made my skinniness even worse. And I also, by the time I got into high school, I was legally blind. Only back in middle school, we were really, really poor. And so the glasses that I had to wear glasses instead of contacts. And so we had to buy the cheapest ones, which were the thickest ones. And so here's this skinny girl with glasses. And when she stood to the side, you could see they were about an inch thick. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but it seems like that's how I remember it. Okay, I also, we were poor, but I really needed braces. And so I had teeth that were just all over the place. To me, that's all anybody ever saw were my teeth. And so I made sure I never smiled. Okay, so we have a skinny little girl that, okay, we're poor, big gold glasses, teeth everywhere. So I figured to make things better for whatever reason, and it made sense to me in sixth grade, I decided that if I dressed like a boy, that would make my life better. So I started shopping in the boys' department, and I would wear these big old jeans that were baggy and these big old shirts, thinking if I covered myself up, nobody would see how skinny or ugly I was. Now, I also, is anybody in here have younger, older siblings and younger siblings? Is anybody, well, you don't have older, though. Is anybody the middle child? I'm looking for, there's my middle, all right, here we go, my middle children out there. So my sister was and still is gorgeous. She was always the most beautiful girl in the whole school and popular and, to make things worse, the most talented person I've ever met. Still today, if you put a pen in that girl's hand, she will just draw you the most amazing picture within minutes. Whoop, there's a stare. So I was super awkward, and that hasn't changed, okay? So my sister would sell her artwork for thousands of dollars. By the time she got into high school, she was selling her artwork for thousands of dollars. Me? I couldn't compete with that. I couldn't draw. So then came along the younger, right? Because I'm a middle. But I got a double whammy because I just didn't get one sibling. I got two. And they were twins. And they were the cutest darn twins you've ever seen. I couldn't compete with my beautiful, talented sister, and I wasn't a cute twin. I was this ugly, gangly, awkward kid right in the middle. So my family, we have alcoholism in our family. A lot of people in our family are alcoholics. And I was thinking last night, and I was going to tell you when I had alcohol for the first time. But then I realized we've got pictures of me as a two-year-old sitting on my grandpa's lap sipping his beer, and everybody thought it was so cute. But it wasn't really cute, actually. And growing up, it was just normal. It was okay if we just had a sip of grandpa's beer or somebody's beer. And that little gene, remember I talked to you guys about that little gene in my DNA, made me an alcoholic too. And so I was 15 when I had my first stronger than beer drink. And I remember thinking, this is what I need in my life. And I loved it. Not because it tasted good and not because it made me feel good, because my DNA is just, there's something in there that just makes me a little off. And so by the time I was 17, I was a teen alcoholic. I also, everybody in my family smoked, so I was a smoker too. And so I actually never smoked myself because I saw what it did to my family, and I saw my grandpa slowly wither away and die from smoking. But I grew up around it, and I still have damage in my body from years and years and years of secondhand smoking. So by the time I'm 17, I'm just drinking a ton. And again, it's not because I think it tastes good or that I even liked how it made me feel. It was just something I started doing and I couldn't stop. I was drinking so much that Sunday morning I went go over to a friend's house, and I remember this friend saying that I still smelled of alcohol just coming out of my pores because I had drank so much the night before that it was just still in me. I grew up with a mother. We've talked about my mom in school a little bit. My mom doesn't know how to love anybody, not just me, all my siblings. She isn't a part of our lives, even now as grown-ups. And when I was growing up, I didn't know that what I was missing from my mom was love. But I never once a day in my life have felt like my mother loves me, like my mother could show me love. And we were very poor, so my dad worked two jobs. And I thought that my daddy didn't like us. I thought he didn't like me growing up, because he would get home from working two jobs and he would be so tired. He didn't want to play or talk or anything. Now I know as an adult that he loved us so much, he was trying to provide for us. But as a kid, I was so lonely. And I was so unloved. And I believed I was unlovable. Now, to make it even better, not really better, but to make my story better so that Jesus could do more in my life, I was, have you ever heard the phrase, dumb as a doornail? That was me. I barely graduated high school. I was two grade points above the minimum. I barely graduated. I got so many Fs in high school that they almost said, you can't have your high school diploma. And so I barely made it by the skin of my teeth, right? So then I was graduated, and I was still, nothing had changed. I was still this gangly girl, and I believed I was so ugly and so dumb and so unlovable. I didn't believe that anybody could ever love me. And so I started having lots of boyfriends, thinking if I just give these boys what they want, if I give them a part of me, they would love me. Surely that would make somebody love me. But it didn't work. In fact, over and over and over again, I started just giving away parts of me and parts of my heart. And instead of making me feel loved, I felt more and more and more broken. And I just remember thinking one day, I don't think I'll live very long. I don't think there's much reason for me to be alive very long. And so that was my life, and that's where I was. And one Friday night, my friend, who's a girl, and I, we were on our way to a party, only we were early, and we didn't want to be big nerds and get there early. So we went to a coffee shop downtown. And we drank, I mean, whatever, had a coffees, whatever, did our thing. And then we went back to get in my car. Only when we had got there, there was no parking spot right in front of the coffee shop. So we had to park down the block. And so we walk, and we get to this building that I normally don't ever park in front of, because we usually park down by the coffee shop. And there's this loud music just blaring out of this building. And I thought, hey, that's kind of cool. What's that? She said, I don't know, but we got to go or the guy's going to be mad if we're late. I said, okay. And I started unlocking my car. And I said, but wait, listen to that music. I don't know what it is about that music, but I want to go in there. She said, we got to go. We're going to be late. We were going to be early and now we're going to be late. And I said, no, I need to go in there. And so we went in there and we found these chairs kind of towards the back. And I remember thinking, this is so cool. Like live music, you know, as a teenager, you don't get to go to a lot of places that have awesome live music. And so I thought, this is so neat and I'm enjoying it. And the music got done. And then I know you kids probably will have no idea what I'm talking about, but if anybody's ever seen the show Whose Line Is It Anyway, where they get up and they do improvisational comedy, and they'll say, I need an occupation from the audience, and somebody will raise their hand and they'll say, a fire truck driver. Okay, I need an animal, and somebody will raise their hand and say, a giraffe. And then, okay, I need something that could go wrong on your car, a dead battery. And so they'll take these three things and they would act out these little skits. They were so funny. I was rolling in the aisle laughing. I thought, how did I not know about this? And then they got done and the show wasn't over because a man got up and he started talking about something that I didn't really know what he was talking about. Now, I had heard about Jesus before. I had heard about Jesus because when my dad would like stub his toe or do something, you know what he would say? Jesus Christ! And this man got up there and he said, Jesus Christ. And I said, he doesn't look mad, but he's speaking like he's mad. I had never heard those words said so gently in my life. And over and over, he talked about Jesus Christ. And to this day, I can't tell you what that man said other than the name of Jesus, but I remember how it made me feel. And I remember that I was sitting kind of in the back, kind of where Zach is, just kind of in the back and in the middle. And that's where I was sitting in the room. And the stage was up there, and I remember feeling just flushing red and feeling so embarrassed because this man was having a conversation with me, and he could see right into my heart. I just knew he could see right into my heart. And I just remember feeling, oh, it's getting so hot in here. Why is he talking to me that way? Out of everybody in the whole room, I felt like he had singled me out and was talking to just me. And nobody had ever spoke to me that way before. And I remember I kind of started feeling shaky and nervous. And they got done, and I didn't even wait for them to finish their last song. I was out of there. I said, come on, to my friend. And we went to the party, and I remember that night sitting there, and as I'm taking sips of my drink, I was thinking, what was that man talking about? He was talking about this love thing. You know, I don't even know if I know what love is. I'll be honest. What was that? I wanted to hear more. So you know what? The next Friday, I tricked my friend and I said, let's go get coffee early again. And I didn't even look for parking spots by the coffee shop. I parked right there in the same spot. And so I drug her in again. And it was the same thing. This man spoke to me. I can't tell you what the words were because I don't remember. But he told me all about Jesus. And not an angry Jesus like I had always heard the words before. He spoke about love. And he spoke about this hole in my heart. How did he know I had a hole in my heart? How does he know all this about me? And as I listened the second night, the words just felt like if you have a sunburn on you and you get some aloe or something really soothing, and how it just like, it's like the pain just melts away almost. My heart started to feel like that, like pain in my heart was just melting away. I didn't know why. I didn't really understand what he was saying or who he was talking about. but I wanted to hear more. So the next Friday, I said, let's go get a drink. Let's go get a coffee before we go and meet the guys. And we went back a third time. And after that third time, my friend said, I'm not going back here anymore. I'm done with that church stuff. Yeah, me too. Maybe we should just go one more time, though. No, she said, I'm done. There was something that had changed in my heart that I didn't even know. I couldn't have told you at the time that something was changing in my heart. But I had met somebody that I had never met before, and his name was Jesus. And he started changing me even when I didn't know it. And do you know what happened first? I started, I don't really feel like going to a party tonight. I just started not feeling like going to a party anymore. Now, I only heard 3 days. I heard about Jesus 3 times in my life, and then I didn't go back. Because my friend wouldn't go with me, and I didn't want to go by myself. Because that was way too scary. And so after hearing about Jesus 3 times, my life just started to change, but I didn't do anything. I was too afraid to go back, and I just waited. And I remember thinking to my head, whispering, are you real? Do you hear me? Are you really a person that hears me? Where are you? How can you hear me? Can you hear me now? I had no idea. And so I thought, I wonder if I whisper so very quietly, I would know if there was really a Jesus. Because if I whispered so quietly that nobody else could hear me, and that Jesus fella still could answer my prayer, then maybe he would be real. I didn't know. I figured to try it out. So 3 months went by from the time that I went 3 times to church. I had to wait 3 months. 3 months of me saying, are you real? Where are you if you are real? When my boyfriend at the time said that one of our friends who had graduated from college, his little brother moved to town to go to the college. And he didn't know anybody, so he wanted to take this younger brother out and meet some people. So we were going to go out and get tacos. And I said, okay, I like tacos. Let's go. And so we sat down at this restaurant, and I met this guy. And I didn't think too much about him. He looked a lot like his brother. That's the only thing I remember thinking about him. And we didn't really talk about much, but, well, I met him. And next week, my boyfriend called me up again and said, hey, that guy that we took out to supper last week, it's his birthday today, and this is a Saturday, so it's a Saturday night, and what should we do? What is there to do in this town? I said, let's go bowling. I love to go bowling. And so we all went bowling, and this guy, this freshman in college, he was just a young, awkward guy himself, we're sitting there bowling, and you know what he does? He busts out Jesus right in the bowling alley. He said, so, you ever go to church? It's like, we're in a bowling alley and you're going to talk about church? No, I went 3 times, but that was it. Like, that's all. I said, oh, okay. Well, do you know about Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? I said, I don't know. I've been whispering to see if he'll listen. And he said, oh, I'm pretty sure he's been listening. I said, how do you know? He said, do you want to go to church with me next Sabbath? I said, yeah. Really? You'll go with me? He said, yeah, I'll go with you. And I went to church. And I sat there, and I heard all about Jesus' love. And I had so many questions. And so I got this old Bible from a friend. My friend said, here, I'm not using this. You can have it. She just gave her Bible away. I said, okay, I'll read it. So like any good reader, where do we start reading a book? In the beginning, right? So I opened this Bible. This isn't the same one. This is my new Bible. But this is what happened. I started reading. Oh, I loved these stories. They were amazing. And I'm reading for the very first time. Noah's Ark. I've heard people talk about Noah's Ark. I had no idea that was a real thing. It's not a made-up story. And I'm reading. And I'm reading, and then all of a sudden, after all of these stories that were just so intriguing, people kept begatting people. I said, I don't know what this means. Am I supposed to remember this? What does it mean to begat somebody? I didn't know what it meant, and I figured I wouldn't be able to follow the story along, so I just went back to the beginning. And I ended up reading the first part of the Bible about four times before that guy that started taking me to church said, well, yeah, and there's even a donkey in the Bible that talks. I said, what? No, that's just silly. He said, no, it's in the... You told me you've been reading your Bible every day. Haven't you been reading your Bible? I said, yeah, I read, but then people kept begatting people. What does it mean to begat somebody? I don't even know. What does this mean? He said, just skip it. Why don't you just start in the back? Let's go to Matthew. Start at Matthew. I can't start in the back of a book. I won't know what's happened. He said, this is a special book. It's like a choose your own adventure book, where you can go all the way to the back and you can read how the story ends before you even know what happens. I thought that was pretty cool. So I went and I read the end of the story. I said, hey, this Jesus guy, he wins. Yeah. And so this gentleman, his name was Todd, and I kind of fell in love with him. And so we decided to get married. But he said to me, I won't get married to you unless you go to college. I was dumb as a doornail, remember? Nobody my whole life ever told me that I could learn anything or that I was smart enough to do anything. What are you talking about? I have 13 grades that I've gone through where every single teacher told me wasn't good enough. I didn't try hard enough. I didn't study enough. I read too slow. It's not good enough. I said, I can't go to college. I'm not college material. And he said, for some reason, I'll always remember these words, if something ever happens to me, you need to be able to take care of yourself and any children that we might have. And I said, I can't do that. Then I'm not going to marry. So you know what I did? I thought that I would like trick my way out of this. And so I said, okay. And I went down and I filled out an application to college. And I said, there's no way these people are going to let me go to college. And so I filled out all this paperwork and I had my high school transcript sent over. And it's kind of a joke, this high school transcript business, because F, F, F. Oh, look at that D. Oh, I was proud of that D. I even had a couple C's on there, I'll tell you. So the college calls me and they said, I need you to come into this office, the admissions office, and we need to talk about this application you've turned in. And I'm like, let's do it, because I know they're going to tell me no, because I was too dumb. And so I went and I sat down, and I kind of have this smug little smile on my face. And this man says to me, why did you apply to college? I said, well, because I like a boy. And he made me. And he said, why do you want to go to college? I don't. He told me I had to or he wouldn't marry me. So I'm just applying. So I'm not smart enough to come here. So all you need to do is to stamp this not smart enough and we will move on with our lives. He said, now wait a minute. You don't think you're smart enough? I said, I know I'm not. Look, he goes, I'm looking at your high school transcript. You never tried a day in your life. Did you even turn homework in? I said, I think I turned two assignments in one time. He said, why? Why are you doing this? Why do you want to be here? Why? And I started to feel frustrated because I had told him that I wasn't smart. And he kept pushing me and pushing me. And he said, well, you're going to do the same thing you did in high school. Why should we let you come here? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, tell me why. I said, I don't know. Nobody ever thought I was good enough or I could do it before, but this guy thinks I can. And I never knew Jesus before, but now I know Jesus. Maybe it'll make a difference. I don't know. And I started crying. And that man looked at me. He sat back and he crossed his arms and he said, "He does believe in you, doesn't he?" I said, "I guess." He said, "You know what? I believe in you too." And that man marched me over and signed me up for classes. That was not what I had planned that day. So I went to college. And the week before classes started, I tell you, I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. I was so nervous because I knew I was just going to make a fool out of myself again. Just like who comes up here and like trips over the step as they're going to like give a sermon. Like, that's me. That's what I do. Like, I just mess everything up. And I knew that's what was going to happen. And I started praying, "Jesus, Jesus, I can't do this. I tried doing this by myself and it didn't work. Can you do it with me? Jesus, can you hear me? Will you be with me?" And you know what? Jesus was with me. And for the first time in my life, that first semester at college, I got all B's. And my second semester at college, I got all B's except for one A. And I said, "What?" I got an A for the first time in my life. And you know what? After that, you know what I wanted? All A's. And do you guys know what? I'm super smart. I have 3 college degrees now. I graduated with honors 3 times. Yeah, right? I had no idea. If Jesus hadn't come along, do you know what I'd still be? I'd still be dumb and ugly and who knows where, doing who knows what. But Jesus changed me. But he didn't just change me. He had more in store for me. So after we got married, yeah, those 2 things were in store for me too. Who knew? We got married. Actually, we got married before I went to school. So actually, the first year of my college, I had already been married. So we'd been married for a year, went to college for a year. And then God said, "I want you to be a missionary." I said, "Oh, my family thinks I'm crazy for going to a church." My dad, you know what he said? He said, "You can go to that church if you want, but you're on your own." He wouldn't help me with college. He wouldn't help because I went to Wawa College. It was a Christian school. He said, "No way. I'm not going to be a part of this." So now God wanted me to go and be a missionary? Like, I can't, Jesus, I can't. But you know what? I could. And Jesus took us to the mission field. And we were missionaries for 10 years, on and off. Yes. We worked in the Philippines. And you know what? In the Philippines, I stood where men, and I think I've told you guys this story. I stood in a circle, in the middle of a circle, where men with automatic weapons stood around me, pointing them at me. And I heard, ch-ch. And I remember telling Jesus, "I'm all in. It's in your hands." And you know what? They didn't shoot me because I'm still here. And then we went to Kiribati, the Republic of Kiribati. It's out in the middle of nowhere. You've never heard of it, probably. And when we were there, we accidentally got swept out to open ocean. I know, I know. And then we went to Zimbabwe, where I met Benny. And you guys know about Benny. And I'll give you rest, the abridged version. And Benny is a little boy in the mission field that I fell so deeply, deeply in love with. And I was sure God was going to let me adopt him and bring him home because I experienced a love in Zimbabwe that I had never experienced in my life. And, oh, you know I will. You know I'll cry. These kids know me. So Benny, I fell so in love with him. And I wrote an email to my husband. He actually wasn't in Zimbabwe with me. And I said, "I'm bringing home a child." And then I stopped checking my email so I couldn't hear what he said because I knew that God intended for me and Benny to be together for the rest of our lives. I can't tell you. I can't even explain the love. And so I spent a whole summer talking to social workers and trying to adopt this boy. And in the end, Zimbabwe's a closed country. They wouldn't even talk to me. I had to get on that plane and come home all by myself without my beloved Benny. And I prayed to God for months, and I was sure that God was going to perform a miracle. And I told God how he could do that. I gave him lots of ideas. I said, God, you know what? You're God, and you could just poof, make him right here. It's okay. I'll never go abroad again. He doesn't need a passport or birth certificate. Well, I'll just keep him. Nobody has to. I just wanted to be with him. And months went by, and I cried myself to sleep every night, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I loved this little boy like I had never known love before. And finally, one night, God said to me, all that love you feel, all that love in your heart, doesn't even touch how much I love you. Benny's not meant to be yours, but that love is yours. How much you love Benny, I love you way more than that. I never knew that I could be loved like that before that moment. I was loved. I was really loved, and that was a lot of love. I loved that little boy. And we still, my kids, my students, we've learned about Benny, and we pray for Benny. And shortly after I left the orphanage, Benny was taken away to a family member, and I never heard from him again. So I don't know where Benny is this day or if he's alive or not, but I still pray for him, and I thank God for that love that he showed me through Benny. And then we went to Guyana, where God gave me the gift of sloths, which, I know. I'm full of stories. And also, when we were in Guyana, I was dying. My heart started failing. And, I actually had heart problems. And I started having these really bad heart problems. And I went into the hospital and they did an EKG. And I was dying. My heart was failing. And we were going to have to, I had one more doctor's appointment in Guyana before they were going to make me go back to the U.S. to get care because they couldn't help me in Guyana, and I was going to die if I didn't have care. And I had sinned as a missionary, as a Christian for, 10 years at that point. I still sinned, and I had sinned, and I told Jesus that I didn't want the life he gave me. I was having this little problem. It was insomnia, and I wasn't sleeping, and it made me tired. I told God I didn't want to be tired anymore. If you're going to make me tired all the time, then I don't want this life. And so Jesus let me have all these heart problems. And when I realized that that particular problem was a direct result of my sin, and I had so much repentance. For the first time in my life, I physically felt God's hand on me, and God healed me in just an instant. And when I got to the next hospital, my heart was just fine, and I had no problems. It was the most amazing thing. And sometimes I'll tell you that story more in depth sometime in class. So we were working in Guyana. We were there for a year and a half, and my husband was a pilot, and we needed another plane for our project because two pilots were flying one plane, and there was too much flying to do. So we came, of all the places in the world, to Tennessee. And I remember thinking, Tennessee? That's a place I always heard about, but I didn't think it was a real place. It's a real place, y'all. Tennessee. So we came to Tennessee, and we ended up buying an airplane, which is a complete miracle story. God just poured out his blessing on our work and our project, and he provided a massive amounts of money to buy this airplane. And my husband rebuilt this airplane. He took it all apart and then he rebuilt it. It was beautiful, completely, so meticulously put together. It was amazing. And so he had one more thing to do before he could fly it. And it was about a week's worth of work. So he was going to work on this airplane for one more week, and then he was going to fly it. And he had to fly it for so long, and it would take him about 2 weeks to fly it enough to take it over the ocean. And then we were out of here. We were going back to Guyana. I was packing at home. I was starting to sort back through our things, figuring out what I want to take to Guyana, what I'm going to leave here for somebody else to have and what I just needed to get rid of. I had these piles. I had boxes I was ready to pack. And Christmas 15, my years run together now. So we had Christmas, and it was a great Christmas day, and it was just fun, and we didn't get to go home to Washington, so we spent the day with our friends in Tennessee, and we had the best, most perfect Christmas day you can imagine. And 3 days later, my husband got sick, and less than 4 months later, I was planning his funeral. He died so fast. I struggled my whole life with feeling loved. And then the one person on the planet that I felt like actually loved me was gone. It was really hard. So I was all by myself. And these words came back to me. You need to go to school because if something ever happens to me, you need to be able to take care of yourself and any kids we might have. Oh. When I do this in my head, I don't cry. So then I'm like, I talk and I'm like, man. Oh, how did he know? So I didn't know what to do with myself. And so for about a year, I just kind of wallowed and cried. I did this, messy-like, for about a year. And I didn't know what to do with myself. And so finally, and I had been homeschooling my kids. So when you're in the mission field, you can't just put your kids in school because we're coming and going and we're all over the place. So I had been homeschooling my kids. Amelia was in first grade at the time. And when he got sick, it was right after Christmas. We were on Christmas, our little Christmas break. And I just never started schooling her again. And so she missed. This is why she'll be with Ava and Everett and Zoe, but she's a year behind because she missed a whole year of school. So finally I said, this is silly. I'm not doing my kids any justice. So I put them in school. Well, I put Amelia in school. Sam wasn't old enough. And then last year I put him in kindergarten. And after I put him in kindergarten, I had nobody to stay home with anymore, nobody to homeschool anymore. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? I don't know what to do with myself. And the next day, after school had started, and I didn't know what to do with myself, the principal of their school called me in, and they said, hey, I really need somebody to come in and sub. I need a regular sub here. Can you do that? I said, I don't know. I guess I can. And so I started subbing. And as soon as I got back in the classroom, I said, oh, Lord, can I do this? I miss this. I love it so much. And God said, I've got better things than subbing in store for you. I've got a whole new life for you. It's not going to be the same. It's going to be different, but you're going to love it. And so I spent last year subbing, and then, well, some of you know this story. I didn't want to. So Miss Jean called my friend, who's a teacher, and she said, hey, we really need a teacher. Are you interested in coming? And my friend said, no, I'm not, but I have a friend looking for a job. She's a teacher. She might be willing. And so I got this call from some lady named Miss B, and she said, hey, I'm retiring, and I need a teacher to come replace me. Are you interested? I said, I don't know, maybe. One-room school? It never even crossed my mind to teach in a one-room school. There's not classes in teaching in a one-room school. I didn't know about that. And so then I got a call from the conference. Well, Miss B said you were interested. Will you come interview? Well, hey, I don't know if I want that job or not. I don't think I do. But I need practice interviewing. I've been a missionary for a long time. I haven't had an interview in a long time. So, yeah, I'll take that interview. I need that practice. I'm going to say no, but I'll do it anyway. And so I came and I interviewed here, and the whole way driving up from Chattanooga, you know what I was doing in my car? Now, most people, if they're going in for an interview, they're praying And they're asking for God's guidance, but not me. I wasn't saying yes. I didn't want this job. I had my music up and I was singing along, happy as a little clam. I was just here for the interview experience, guys. Nothing else. I was going to see a new part of town, new part of Tennessee, and then go back home. And I went through my interview, this is what I do, and interviewed. I didn't think much about it because I thought, well, I can do better next time. That was not my best interview because I wasn't too worried about it. I hadn't prayed about it. And then the conference lady called me, and she said, they want to offer you the job. And I said, really? Me? She said, what do you think? I said, well, I'm going to have to pray about that. I never even prayed about taking this job because I did not want this job. And so the next day, they had me come down and spend the day Tullahoma Seventh-day Adventist Christian School, and I met these kids. And they looked at me with their sweet little smiles. I was smitten, you guys. And so I said, well, I need to pray. I need a week to pray about this. And as soon as I was in that class and I was just seeing, and God just came, and it's like he put his arms on me and he said, right there, you see that? That's what you're doing now. I had no idea the day before that God was going to do that. And so I started praying about it. And it was clear as day, this is where God wanted me. Just clear as day. And I didn't have any, I said yes. I didn't even need my week to pray. And I just knew I was where God wanted me. And you know what? That feeling hasn't gone away. I still know I'm where God wants me. So you guys, you know all my stories almost. God brought me here. And sometimes I don't know why, because sometimes y'all give me a hard time. Yeah, you know it. But you know what? There's nowhere else in the world I would rather be. And I thought that when God had let my husband die, my life as a missionary ended. And I was so sad because we had done mission work for so long. But you know what? I'm still a missionary. You guys are my mission field now. Things are going to happen in your lives that are not going to make sense. And they're going to hurt. And they're going to be hard. And you're going to cry. And you know what? These hard things, there's no way around them. It's not because God doesn't love you. It's because we live in a sinful world. That's just going to happen. You know what? God still loves us even through the hard times, and he's still with us. There were times when I thought it was so hard, and I even told God, this is too hard. I can't do it anymore. I can't be all alone. I can't raise two kids by myself. You know what? God's love is just with me and with me, even when it's so hard that I want to give up. God never gives up on me. You know what? I'm not giving up on you guys either, am I? Nope. Thank you for listening to my very long story.